Welcome to the Strong Women Podcast, where we explore the beautifully diverse ways God invites and equips women to participate in His story. We're here to encourage one another as we step out of the shallow definitions of what it means to be a woman and into the flourishing life that comes when we walk out our design. I'm your host, Sarah Stonestreet. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, everybody. I'm glad you've joined us today. My guest is Kim Charette. She's the founder of Hope Reigns, which is a Raleigh, North Carolina-based organization. And their mission, listen to this, is we pair kids in crisis with rescued horses and mentors to find hope and healing. And so I cannot wait to hear all about Kim's story, how she got into this, and what God is doing through it. So thanks so much for coming, Kim.
Sarah, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor.
Yes. Well, let's jump in. But first, I want to hear about your season of life. Right now, what fills your days?
Oh my gosh. Well, I can honestly say that my life is just in a season of transition right now. My kids are moving out and my husband and I are downsizing into a townhouse just to simplify life. And moving is not simple, but we're just focused on the fact that once we get moved and get rid of all the stuff that we don't need or want, life is going to be just a little cleaner and a little simpler. So really excited about that.
How many kids do you have?
I have two, a son that's 22 and a daughter who is 20.
Okay. I'm just a little bit behind you. So, except I've got a 7-year-old little caboose in the family, but my daughter is 19. So close to the ages of y'all's.
But yeah.
What about, did you grow up in a Christian home? Tell us kind of about your growing up years.
Yeah, no, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in Ohio in an upper middle class home that looked really great on the outside. And my dad was a very successful businessman and we didn't want for anything financially. But what people didn't know is that he was an alcoholic and very emotionally and verbally abusive. And I just never knew safety as a little girl. So I just grew up in chaos. You know, every time that garage door would open, my sister and I would just be like, what is coming in that door? We just never knew. And I grew up feeling kind of crazy because my mom would never talk about it. You know, I think people out there that have addiction in their life know it's very hidden and it's very shameful. And we just were never allowed to talk about it. And so she would just kind of deny that there was a problem. And so I think my wound growing up was that there was something wrong with me.
Right. Because if adults don't take ownership of those kind of things, it's left to the kids to kind of shoulder and figure it out.
They think it's me. That something is wrong with me. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. So, yeah. And I think because it looked good, my dad bought me a horse. And so I just have vivid memories of going to the barn and my horse was my safe place and my comfort. So I kind of know what it's like to be a kid in crisis. And my horse was really the only thing, Sarah, I ever whispered my secrets to. I just have vivid memories of him munching on his hay in a stall and just pouring my heart out about what was happening in my life. So I really have that horse connection from the first time that I was a child.
How old were you when you got the horse?
I was probably 13. Then when we moved from Ohio to Oklahoma, my dad bought me a show horse. So I had him from probably the age of 14 to I went to college. He was an American saddlebred and pretty special. So,
wow. Yeah. Okay. I know part of your story is that you wanted to please your dad. And, and how did that look with the horses?
Yeah. Well, I think kids in my situation tend to go one of two ways. They either self-destruct or go inward or they perform. And so I took the performance route. My brother kind of went the self-destruction route and I could kind of see that wasn't looking so good. So I just chose to perform. And really whatever my dad wanted, I went to the college he wanted me to do. I just, anything he wanted me to do is exactly what I did. And I went into business, got a degree in marketing and had a pretty successful business career in my 20s and really felt that was just so empty because it wasn't something I was passionate about. And Maybe people can relate to this, especially women. I always felt like when this happens, then I'm going to be happy, right? When I get in this relationship, then I'm going to be happy. When I get this job, then I'm going to be happy. When I move, like insert whatever your thing is, because I didn't have value in and of myself, right? And I was so empty and seeking the world for what God can only fill and didn't have that relationship yet with Jesus. But God really started pursuing me in my late 20s.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, I lived in Chicago, and that's where I met my husband. And as we were dating, for some reason, we just started to go to church. So we'd go every once in a while on a Sunday morning. And I would.
He wasn't a believer at that time?
No. No, but he was open, you know, he was open. And I literally, Sarah, would just sit and weep. I couldn't sing. I couldn't do anything. I just literally sat in church and cried. And we ended up, loved Chicago, but knew that we wanted to have a family after we got married. And we moved to Raleigh because we just wanted a different lifestyle. And boy, down here, you go to church. People invite you to church. So we got invited by my real estate agent, actually, to go to her church. And I think it was the very first time that I ever heard, it's Jesus, right? Nobody had ever really talked to me about Jesus before that I have knowledge. And that's really where I accepted Christ in a women's Bible study at my first church here. And I've just been really voracious for him ever since then.
Wow. Was your husband right alongside you in that, or how did he come?
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, he came right along with me, and it was something really special.
And with your relationship with your dad, did he ever come to Christ?
I don't know. I talked to him about Jesus. It's too much information, but we had a really rough kind of ending when my mom died. And I told him about Jesus, and he was on the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. And I shared the gospel with him. And I hope that was something that he accepted. I really do.
So then walk us through how, like, where did this vision of Hope Reigns come from?
Well, so the funny thing is, I always share this because I think as women we can relate. I always said, I'm never going to drive a minivan and I'm never going to stay home with my kids. So guess what?
Yes, you did both.
I did both after I came to know Jesus. It's just, again, my work was really empty for me because it was just lining other people's pockets. And so I spent a good 6 or 7 years at home with the kids in Bible study, therapy, just really, you know, working on myself and really pouring into my kids. And I guess it was probably 2007, 2008, I really started to get the sense that God had something for me to do. And I went to a women's conference, and the woman that was the keynote speaker asked us a question. She said, what is something you used to love to do that you don't do anymore? And Sarah, horses popped into my head.
Probably like right away too, huh?
Well, but I hadn't even thought about him in the longest time. So it was such a God thing that this the idea of a horse popped into my head. And so I spent a good couple of years, God, do you want me to buy a horse? I started to ride again. I started to do all of these things, right? And then in 2009, I ended up finding this book about this group in Oregon that was doing something similar. And that was it. I was like, I knew right away when I read this book that this was what God had for me to do. And that was in 2010 in the recession.
Oh boy.
Which is a whole nother story.
Right. And then, like, did you just have land that you just had a horse and you said, I mean, like, how did that? There's so many pieces I'm like, how did
many. It's such a God thing. So I had more of a marketing and a business background. So I started to do research on the market and is there any other groups doing that? And, you know, put it kind of a business plan together. And my husband and I took our kids to an Easter egg hunt on this church's property. They owned 70 acres right in the middle of where we lived, which is very unusual. That was a former dairy farm. And I was like this whisper of the Holy Spirit of what is this place? It was amazing. So I finally just went in and talked to the guy that ran this church just to try to get some feedback and took my business plan. I didn't even know we were doing this. We had no name. We were not a nonprofit or incorporated. And he literally, Sarah, got up and rolled a map out and said, here's 20 acres. So, and the amazing thing is that I kept sharing with people this idea. You know, all my friends are so awesome, but everybody was like, you're crazy. We're in a recession. You can't do this. Businesses are going under. And everybody kept saying, you'll never find land. And what is the first thing God did was give us land.
Which is the biggest problem to solve.
It is the biggest problem to solve for $1 a month. And it was before we even had a name or were incorporated. I didn't even really know this was happening. So God has just really been right there from the very beginning, opening the doors.
What was the process of coming up with the name?
Oh, it was so fun. We were just talking about this the other day. It was just a couple of us that are still at Hope Rains sitting around my kitchen table and just dreaming and throwing things up on a board and coming up with the name. So
that's so fun. Yeah. And they're still with you, those people?
They're still with us. Gosh. Absolutely. Barb and my sister.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Two things that I just love about that part of your story is, one, that here you didn't even really love marketing and business. I mean, you did it. You're successful at it, but it wasn't something you just loved, and that God used that. I love to hear the stories of how people learn different things and how God uses it, because I just firmly believe that no learning is wasted. I'm always telling my girls that, like, because they're like, I don't know what I want to do. And I said, just learn something in front of you, mm-hmm. and it won't be wasted. And I've found that true in my life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The second thing that I just love is, when God gives us these ideas and starts drawing out our giftings and things like that, it always starts right in front of us, and often with just a few people that say, sure, I'll join that idea. And I love that those people are still involved.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people from the beginning that are still involved. It's really it's really incredible. We have a lot of longevity on our staff.
That's cool. All right. So tell us how this whole thing works. So a kid is brought to you, or how do the kids find you? And then what's the process of them getting involved in Hope Rains?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, the mental health crisis has never been worse for kids. I know I probably don't need to give the statistics to your listeners, but, and unfortunately, there just aren't a lot of resources out there. Our services are completely free to the families and the kids that we serve. More than 50% of the kids we serve live at or below the poverty line, so they can't afford to see a therapist or a doctor. And so it's just really important for us that there's no barrier to entry. And we have a really robust intake process. Kids hear about us in a variety of ways. One of the most amazing ways is that for 15 years, 100% of our families would refer a child in need to Hope Rains, which is really an unheard of statistic for 15 straight years. And so we get a lot of referrals from families because they've experienced so much healing. We also have doctors and therapists that refer us. We have teachers. We have school systems. We have Wake County DSS, our local DSS. And then we also have partners that we connect with strategically that we serve their kids, like our local rescue mission and a refugee organization that bring kids out on a consistent basis.
And so then, do they stay the night there, or they just come for a couple hours?
Yeah, it's a weekly 90-minute session. So we're not an overnight program. So we call them sessions, and it's weekly. And they start out getting paired with the same horse and mentor consistently. But what's really unique about our program is every child or teen ages 5 to 18, we have one requirement, and they have to say yes to our program, because we know that if they aren't ready, they're not going to heal, right? And we don't have always, like, it's not often that kids will say no, but, you know, what happened to them, so many of them, they've been violated and their boundaries have been run over and they didn't have a voice in what happened to them. And so we want to give them their voice back at Hope Rains. And it starts with saying yes to our program. And we take them on a tour. Sometimes they look at our website. We had one precious little girl that was sleeping with a picture of Shiloh, one of our ponies, under her pillow. So that was obviously her horse. And then we take them on a tour and we just introduce them to all the horses and their stories. And inevitably they connect with one. And then sometimes a horse chooses a child, which is really special.
Okay, so the horses have stories.
Yeah, they do. They have all been rescued from some type of abuse and neglect. Recently, the four horses that we brought in were all rescued from slaughter auctions. So slaughter is where horses go. No horse ever wants to go to slaughter. It's the last resort where they're literally bid on for meat. And people that do rescue go in and try to pull out the ones that they think are salvageable, you know, that somebody would want. And they're beautiful, beautiful animals. Starvation, you know, one of our original rescued horses named Joey, there's actually a book that's been written about him. It's a national bestseller. He was an alternate to the Olympics in dressage in his prime and ended up in this terrible hoarding situation and ended up getting blinded from starvation. So we had him in the early days. So we have had lots of different stories of horses.
So then as you're just telling, you've got the kids, you're telling the kids the stories of these horses, which they probably, most of them resonate with something.
Yeah.
And then they're drawn to one of the horses.
Yeah.
So do they also learn, I mean, are they given jobs around the farm, like cleaning out the stalls and such?
We have kind of a loose idea of what we're doing in every session. You know, all of our programming is geared around teaching kids four resiliency skills. There are four things that God tells us, right? Our purposes with God. And then there are also four things that Harvard has said that kids in trauma need in order to build resiliency and heal. And we know if they don't build resiliency, right, those good, healthy coping skills, that's what's going to help them not only heal now, but have a future where they're really going to use strong skills in their adult life. And that's really always where we start with them.
I love the innovation of this because the Colson Center has these questions for kind of how do we look at our little sphere of influence and say, how do I bring your kingdom on earth mm-hmm. as it is in heaven kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the questions are, what's good that can be promoted? What's missing that can be added? What's broken that I can work to mend? And what's evil that must be stopped? And I can't help but think of these questions as you're telling this story because Christians should be the most innovative on things like this because basically at the beginning of the world, God said, look at all that I've created now, go do something with it. And there's this huge freedom in, first of all, delighting in his will and his ways, but then there's this huge freedom to use his creation for his glory. So I love that because you're addressing in one way or another all those questions, but in such an innovative way. It's not the typical, okay, here's a 90-minute counseling session, although those are also very beneficial. But here, let me speak to you in a language you might understand.
Well, and what's really incredible that we realized, a little while into this is that it's actually geared around the four things that horses teach humans, which is trust, communication, boundaries, and leadership. And so everything we do is geared around these things, which tie in with our scripture and with what Harvard says. So we just can't make it up. We take no credit. We just say, God just showed us this and it really works.
That's beautiful. All right. Share some stories of some of the kids.
Yeah. So what's really exciting right now is we're heading in next year to our 15th anniversary. And one of our original staff that I talked about is talking to 15 of our alumni. So these are kids who went through our program that are now adults that are thriving and has been interviewing them. And they are so pumped and excited to be able to share about Hope Reigns and how their life got transformed. And I mentioned the Joey book. And in the Joey book, there's lots of stories, but the main story is about a little girl named Allie, who was mute from abuse. And she was 5 years old when she started with us. She had gone through such horrific abuse, she chose not to speak. And she was waiting to get into our program because you have to be 5 to get into our program. And when she got in, she wanted to work with Joey. And, you know, Joey was blind. And Joey was our only horse that you have to work with voice commands because Joey couldn't see, right? He couldn't see, you know, the hand signals and the things that we were doing. And so she had to make a choice, Sarah, that she was going to speak because she wanted to work with Joey. And so so much of the book is this beautiful story of them building a relationship together and her deciding that she's going to start speaking. Well, she ended up thriving, graduating from our program, was in Toastmasters in high school, if you know what Toastmasters is, which is a speaking club. Okay, here's the girl that wasn't speaking. And we just found out that she's just graduated high school and going off to college. And yeah, just said Hope Reigns has made such an incredible difference in her life. And so, yeah, so we're really excited to share 15 years of impact. And then we've got You know, the young girl that just started with us who was adopted came from a very traumatic situation. A lot of the kids that get adopted, even when they're little, tend to, when they hit middle school, start processing, right? They feel safe in their home and they start processing and sort of remembering these things and need a place to do that. And so she's out at our ranch processing right now and working with Peter, one of our horses, and is really, really doing well.
You had your own trauma to work through.
Yeah.
How has God used this Hope Reigns to help you heal as well?
Oh, yeah. Great question. Well, I will be honest and tell you that 5 or 6 years into building Hope Reigns, I thought I was having a heart attack one day, and I ended up going to the ER, and I figured out I was having panic attacks. And what I realized is that I was still performing. I was performing for God, right? Because I wasn't valuable enough that God just loved me, because I had such a father wound. Like, it's still taking, you know, I still struggle today with God the Father and his just unconditional love and for me. But, you know, it was just that realization of, wow, I'm still performing. And God had to really get my attention and say, daughter, like, I need nothing from you. Like, if you never started this thing, I would still love you as much as I love you today, right? And I have the gift of being able to start this and work here and process through my own story and continue to grow and be confident in my value. But I still catch myself performing, and I have to, I always call it, oh God, I'm so sorry. I tried to get back on the throne, right?
Yeah.
Sort of the way that I think about it, like, I'm sorry for getting on your throne or trying to get up there.
Do you have people in your life that kind of help you identify that? Or is that something you're just always praying about?
I think it's a little of both.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my partner, Barb, who helped start Hope Reigns. And, you know, I'm the visionary, and she's what we call the integrator. She's the one that kind of takes all the ideas and goes, yes, no, we can't do that, and manages the staff. And, you know, she's kind of the steady, stable. And yeah, she helps me a lot to know kind of when I'm stepping over.
Okay. Speak to those of us out here who tend towards that performance, because that's just so in our human nature. It doesn't make sense that God loves us without our performance. But of course, we know he does, because scripture tells us that he does. Speak to those of us who struggle with that. What would you advise us? Are there questions that you ask yourself to help yourself identify when you're leaning towards that performance? Do you know what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the markers is when things are hard for me. Like if I'm banging my head against the wall, or I'm exhausted, or if I'm really pushing, is oftentimes when I step back and go, oh, like, what am I doing? Right. I know that the times in my life, I won't say they're easy, because, you know, being in ministry is not easy, but when God opens the door and I walk through is a lot easier than when I'm trying to yank the door open myself. You
yes.
know what I mean? And then I think a lot of times I really check my motives a lot. Like, why am I really doing this? Or if I'm upset, you know, if something rubs me the wrong way, it's like, what is this really about? You know, is this really about because this thing isn't happening? Or is this really about, what does this say about me? Right? Because, you know, if I'm not successful, what does that say? Or if I get some feedback from somebody that isn't, you know, perfect and positive, like, can I receive that and still know that they love me and have my best interest at heart, and just receive it as it is, and not as a value statement that there's something wrong with me?
That's good. And those are good things to start just asking yourself those questions, like, what is this fear, or what is this feeling that I'm feeling? What is it actually pointing to? When I get overwhelmed and feel like, can't anybody help me? That's when I know I've slipped into that performance mode, you know, because you can't do it on your own, and you shouldn't do it on your own. But
yeah. And I just think too, like, suffering and the challenges that I've gone through, it's just all that refining, you know what I mean? Where you just realize, gosh, Lord, I really don't have anything but you, you know, and just really that constant surrender. And, you know, he can always do so much more than we can ever ask or imagine. That's just the truest, truest scripture. And so I just want to see what he's going to do. It's fun.
What is your advice for walking along a friend who you can tell they struggle with this performance-based understanding of God? Like, I'm wondering if your friends have ever called you out in a way that maybe our listeners would be encouraged by if they're trying to help a friend in this?
Well, I think it really goes back to your value. You know, I tell people all the time, it's really not what you do. It's who you become in the process, you know, especially because people ask me, well, how do you find your purpose like you? And I don't think God calls every single person to start a ministry. I just happen to be for whatever reason. But I mean, whatever it is that you've experienced, right, we are to comfort others with the comfort we've received. And so if that's divorce, if that's losing a child, if that's, you know, whatever it is, I think that there's such a great opportunity for you to come alongside other people that have experienced something really, really hard. And that, again, goes back to our value, because we don't have to do anything, right? Salvation is a gift. It's hard to receive. But it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know what I mean? It's not a one-time gift. We have to keep remembering that God's steadfast love and mercy is a gift every day.
And then there's this weird balance, because like when we're redeemed and restored and reconciled, he doesn't like grab us and place us in the stadium to go, yay, Jesus, you're doing such a great job. We're invited to participate, which does involve not performance, but you know, his love compels us. We want to act out our faith. And so, but I think a lot of times we want to do something big. You know, we want to jump right to the let's go big or go home.
I think a woman who starts a Bible study for other people that have gone through the loss of a child or divorce or whatever, again, whatever you've been through, like, is every bit as powerful, if not more powerful, than me starting Hope Reigns. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a comparison at all, but in your sphere of influence, God is going to bring the people that he wants for you to minister to them in a way that only you can, because there's only one you. He made you unique, and there's going to be nobody ever like you on the face of the earth again. And so he's going to uniquely gift you and bring you the people that he wants you to walk with.
What have you learned about God through this?
I think I'm just still really learning surrender. And I'm just really learning, like, Psalm 25, Psalm 9, like, these are the Psalms that I'm in right now, just about God's steadfast love and his mercy that they never end. You know what I mean? And he doesn't forsake us ever, you know, especially when we're oppressed or we're struggling or we're suffering. You know, those who seek him, he is always going to be there for us. And it may not look like the way I want. Like, I say, God, this is what I want, right? But I've just learned that whatever does happen is always better than what I prayed for most of the time. That's like a Garth Brooks song, right? Thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yeah.
and because he really does know best. He really knows best. He really has our best interest at heart. And loved us and created us. So who else is going to know more about us than him?
Yeah. What are you most excited about that Hope Reigns is doing right now?
Well, so back to the Joey book. We, once this book came out, it's become a national bestseller. We've got people from all over the country that have been calling us. And so many of them have asked the question, how do I start something similar? And God has called us, and we've been kind of beta testing this now for about 3 years, but he's called us, instead of opening more Hope Reigns, we're giving away our knowledge and investing in other people. And we've opened an academy. It's the Hope Reigns Academy. And we're teaching and training other people to start a similar ministry. And so if anybody's been inspired, or you know somebody that's had a dream like this, we would love to walk alongside you and help you get started. Everything from writing a business plan to finding donors and land and all of the things. We're really, really excited about being able to help. We're hopeful 200 ranches across the world.
That's a big goal.
Yeah.
But a good one. Okay, listeners, if you've been inspired, like she said, go check them out. Where can they find you?
Yeah. So we actually have a very special offer for your listeners. If you go to Hope Reigns, it's reins.org/podcast, you can sign up to get our newsletter and hear more stories, just like Kids Like Allie. You can also download a free copy of the Joey book. So we're giving away free copies of Joey. And then you can also find out more about the Essentials, which is the first phase of the Academy, which is available right now.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks. Well, before we get to our ending questions, I want to take a quick break with a message from the Colson Center. Hey, everyone. Strong Women Podcast is a listener-funded program from the Colson Center that is only available for free because of listeners like you. So to join our community of women who make this program possible, visit colsoncenter.org/SW monthly today. Okay, Kim, we've got three more questions. Can you handle it?
I can.
Okay.
This is awesome.
I know. It's so fun talking to you. What advice do you have for our young listeners, like high school and college age girls?
Oh, this one's easy for me. You know, it's all about valuing yourself, right? And really believing that God loves you. I share this with my daughter, you know, because I didn't have a father who loved me, I sought men for my value and I gave myself away as a young girl. And it's one of the biggest regrets that I have. And so I just would encourage them to believe and know their value and that they are so incredibly loved and special and to really believe that what Jesus says about them is true.
Precious and so beautiful that is true. Like, thank God that we do have value. What books are you reading?
The one I'm reading right now that's really impacting me is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I'm listening to all of his stuff and reading his books and really working on just the slowing down and the solitude and the Sabbath and which again, I think rubs up against my performance nature.
Yeah. Oh man, I bet it does. Right. Okay, last question. What woman from history would you like to have coffee with?
Wow, there's so many, but the one that popped into my head when I read that is Harriet Tubman. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Harriet. It was out quite a few years ago. I've never sat in a movie theater, I'm going to cry right now, and wept like that at the end. I was undone after that movie, but I think I would just like want to know from her, how in the world did you persevere through this? Like, how did you do this? How did you persevere? I mean, the life and the death constantly and rescuing people. And it's just so incredibly inspiring to me.
Yeah. And the courage to escape, but then to come back many times. It's crazy.
I know. It is crazy.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for spending this time with me. And I just am so blessed by your story and what you're doing.
Thanks, Sarah. It's just a real honor to be on. I'm really grateful.
Yeah. And thanks listeners for listening in, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Women Podcast, brought to you by the Colson Center. Join us on Facebook in the Strong Women Podcast community to connect with me and a community of women finding their strength, calling, and courage in a faithful God. You can also subscribe to our monthly Strong Women email journal at colsoncenter.org/strongwomen. See you next time.